Well, I don't know if it's in the bulletin, but today is Mission Sunday. I think it is on the front there. And for those of you who are new, Mission Sunday is something we do four times a year. And this will be our fourth time in the year of 2012. Yeah, thank you. yes. That's a good year. It's a good year. It goes so fast. I can't remember. Is it? Okay. So, in English, we have an expression. Whenever something good is happening and you say something about it or you talk about something good, another person would say, don't jinx it. Don't jinx it. J-I-N-X. Jinx means like bad luck. It's superstitious, but it's just a funny thing. For example, Naomi and I, one day we're watching our three sons playing together happily. Nobody's crying for mama. Nobody's whining for food. Nobody's complaining. They're playing together. And so Naomi and I were in the kitchen, and we see it, and Naomi says to me, they're playing together. And I say, don't jinx it. Which means if you say something, it's going to stop or something will happen and, you know, it'll all crumble, right? Don't jinx it. So today, I want to give you a good report of all of the giving that has been happening that we've been doing this whole year. And maybe you're thinking, don't jinx it, Chris. Don't talk about it because you never know. But sorry, I'm going to jinx it. We'll have reports from Guatemala. There's orphans that we support there. We'll have a report from Japan Food for the Hungry, from Emma. I don't know if she'll talk about Africa or not. Maybe. Okay, a little bit. And then I'll share a little bit about Cambodia with the Record family that we support. But we have a very special testimony today about our offering to the Philippines. And I told everybody on Facebook that I'll be announcing how much we have collected for the Philippines today. And I'll save it to the end because it's a good number. That's one number. There's another number that I want to just share briefly, and that is the total amount we've collected this entire year for Mission Sunday, the three times, not including today. And just to encourage you and to just praise the Lord and celebrate how much He's done in us and through us. So for three Sundays of this year, we've collected just from this congregation, just the English service, ¥433,851. And that's about $4,000 US, more, a little bit over $4,000 US. That's three Sundays. And, you know, we're pretty full today, but, you know, we're not... We don't have a lot of people, we don't have a lot of resources, but we have a great God, and we have a God who loves to give. He gave His only Son. And so write it down, record it, and praise God for that, that God has done that. And so it's ¥433,851. I don't know who gave the ¥1, so... But you know somebody, you know some widow, some orphan just had nothing. And okay, here you go, Jesus, there you go, everything. And Jesus said, yeah, that's everything, that's great. So count it. All right. So that's just one number. I've got another number coming up later on. So first we'll go in order. We'll go with Guatemala. We'll go with Japan Food for the Hungry. And then we'll do Cambodia. And then we'll do Philippines, or Philippines, then Cambodia, whatever, however it works. But let the Lord lead. I think Fernando and Makiko will be done. So yeah, go ahead.
Thank you for praying for Guatemala children. And since Fernando went to Guatemala last October, end of October to beginning of November for 2 weeks, and he visited his family, and also he went to the Casa de Niño, which is the children's house in the town Malacatan in the west, northwest side of Guatemala, and he took some picture, and he had a meeting with the five directors there and had some talk. So he will talk about what he got some information there.
Good afternoon. If you're not familiar with the Ministry of Guatemala, my wife Makiko does recycle and try to collect money or things and make it into money and send it to this project in Guatemala. I just happened to go last November, and it was a late rainy season, and I didn't have a means to go to the region. It's really far. It took me 7 hours to get there. But my brother drove me. I wanted to go, but my brother drove me, and his car wasn't that fit for the roads. Guatemala, during the rainy season, it's just the roads ruined, and they'll fix them. So they wait until now to stop fixing the roads for the rest of the year. But we made it there. And like Makiko was saying, I got to meet. I'm sorry, I'm passing up. Maybe I should start from the beginning. These are the rooms where the children live. These are the girls, probably because the pink, and the boys. And the boys, they have their own different side. This must be the boys is red, this is pink. So the girls live in one building, and the boys live in a different building. But what happened in Guatemala is that the school year, I think I explained last time, that the orphans that they take care, they have to have a living relative because they thought about taking children from the streets, but it's not legal. It will make the organization commit a crime, taking children. So they had to have a living relative. They're orphans, but they had to have somebody that signs for them, their custody. So they only keep them during the year, the school year. And when I went, it was the end of the school year. So they were not there. They were on vacation, like in vacation, a school vacation. The Guatemala ends in November. And December, January is the vacation. There's no summer break for the school. So they right now are in vacation, like Christmas, New Year's, is the holidays in the schools. So they were not there, but they call them later. So they just show me the rooms. And this is the chicken where they keep the chickens. The chickens are very difficult work to do. They die very easily in the region. When the influenza goes, the whole region just dies. So they didn't have any chickens right now. This is the fish pond where they grow the fish for business. They grow fish and sell it. But because if you can see, it's surrounded by forest, and that's no good for the fish. But they don't want to cut the trees because that would be deforestation. So they try to deal with this situation the best they can. It can only grow every 5 months, big enough. It should grow faster, but if there is no sunlight, they don't grow. So they had a donation and the company is the Frito-Lay. If you can see it, maybe they can see it, but it's Frito-Lay. It's Frito-Lay in there. It's a snack company. And they asked him to make them at a certain time, so they had to make it. So they didn't have time to plan and take care of the trees, but they have many trees in the property, so they don't want to cut them down. And this is the back of the property, and they planning to keep it this way for environmental reasons. They have many trees, fruit trees, cacao, coffee, and many trees that they only grow in the region. And they don't want to cut them down because they're useful. And people are cutting trees everywhere just for wood. And some of these trees are disappearing. So they're thinking to keep this property, since it's Casa del Niño, not to cut the trees for wood and let the people know what the trees are for and with the use of the trees. So hopefully they're planning to do some kind of park and label the trees and maybe help the students to learn about the ecology in the region. This was some construction they left on from the Americans. Some Americans came and built this house. And but they, I guess, they didn't have enough funds, and they left it. And they now they're going to use it in the future. They're going to fix it. And I don't know exactly what they're going to do with it. This is the library. And they told me they wanted to name it Green Chapel. Oh. So probably, yeah, they want to name it Mitaki Green Chapel. Yeah. So they're going to name the. This is their church. And in the back of the church, they built like jukus. And this is the ministry of the pastor. They have four rooms, and it's four levels. It's like this is the Sunday school. And they teach them public speech, arts, crafts, and they try to make him like school. Children that don't go to school, they can come and at least one day learn something, and then encourage them to go to school. Many work, so they don't go to school. This is not for the Casa del Niño. This is for anybody. This is just the church, their church, and they set every room have teachers. These are the directors that Makiko was talking about, and they are very busy. It's only five of them, and the pastor is in the middle. He's the one who takes care of the church and the Sunday school and all that. And the guy on the right with the yellow shirt is Edgar. He's the goes out in the countryside, deep countryside, where the communities are isolated, and he looks for orphans, for children that have the family has no income, and he brings them to the Casa del Niño. The young one on the right with the T-shirt, he's the legal, he's like a president for this group. He represents them in the legal situations in the country. He takes care of all the paperwork for the country. So he does all the paperwork. And on the...
Like a lawyer?
No, he's not a lawyer. He's just a president, the representative of this organization. He takes care of all the whatever comes from the government, the requirements, and he works for that. He looks for somebody to take care of it, and he takes care of that part. And on the left with the blue shirt, that's my father. He's just in charge of the property. He just cleans and keeps everybody tidy. It's just like a general. He's just telling people what to do. He's not. He's just like that. And in the left, that's Ever. He's the one in charge of all the children, him and his wife. This is the church. That's my brother on the left. He was the one who took me to this area. He's busy on the telephone. And this is their sign on the church, where they try to encourage anybody that comes. It says students professional practice for students. So if anybody wants to come and be with them, take part in the ministry, can come and join them in the church in the Sunday school for training children. And this is the kitchen and their place where they eat, the children. They call them. Some of the boys live close by, and they call them in the morning, and they came to meet me. I left Guatemala City 2 o'clock, and I got there nine or ten at night. This is the next morning, and I had to leave early because my brother had to go to work, and it takes 7 to 8 hours to get out of there. So I didn't have much time to take pictures. Two of the girls came, and they had breakfast with me. I'm sorry, the picture. There he is. And the rooms in the back are their bedrooms. And that's the wife of the president. She also helps in the Casa del Niño. The two girls came to say goodbye and give me a letter saying they have desire to grow and good to get older and help become nurses to help people in the future, and they're trying to study to do that. There were only two girls. They could come back. And this is the boys. They all like soccer. So Makiko sent money for the well, and there were some left, and they will have some money to get their uniform and start their soccer team. So in the future, they will have a soccer team. This is all most of the boys, but not all of them. You went back to the first. I'll see if I can go back. Yeah, that's so they planning to build a well. This is the entrance. They have a little playground, and right around here is the well, but it's just a hole in the ground, and they planning to build a purifier. Water, but it's a well, and they go to purify plant, and sell the water. So that's the last donation that Makiko sent out of her collection. She sent $6,000, but it's not enough to build the whole plant. So they're planning to present the plant to another company. They will donate the rest of the money, and hopefully by next year they'll start selling water. The water is no good in the area. The drinking water is no good. So everybody buys water, and they happened to find they found a good water in the property, and so they're trying to figure out a way to sell it, and so they're going to start next year. This is their water, but this is this one is a tank collects the rainwater of all the buildings. So they got water, it's no problem. These are the bedrooms, because there's no water too either sometimes. So they have to collect water. That's the tank. This is just the entrance. They have an oven that was built by some students from the university nearby. And they can make bread once in a while and sell it. They plan into this next to the kitchen. This is the rooms. They have the houses and the bathrooms. And their tanks. So they pretty much they are equipped. They just need to put things in practice and get more help. There's only five elders, and some of the members of church are busy with the ministry in the church. So I recommended them to ask people, maybe somebody volunteer and help them. So hopefully. What's the pastor's name? Edgar. Yeah, it's two Edgars and one Ever. And so, yes, pray for them. They making a meeting today, and they were encouraged that I was able to go. They really wanted to meet Makiko because Makiko's the one supporting them and cares for the children. And they are being very concerned about the money. They think that we worry about they stealing the money, so they really nervous about presenting numbers and give me all the receipts and everything, and I just don't want the receipts. But they are really good at numbers, so I don't want the receipts. But just you can report. So they report into Makiko. I translate to her, and they report every cent that they spent and what they spent it and what they did. So, but they are dedicated to their works, and they all work. They have their own jobs, but they still volunteer in the ministry. So please pray for them. And that they find more help And pray for Makiko that she can continue her, maybe she can explain her ministry, how does it work here in Japan. That's all I saw. And sorry, I shouldn't spend more time, but my brother had to work. He was just driving me there, but because of the rain, we had to leave early. It was very stormy. So, thank you.
Well, how I raise money is, of course, one is from here, the offering. And the other thing is that I collect the papers, books, cans, aluminum cans, and just bring to the recycle. I get money. And somewhere, people bring clothing or some things that they don't use at home, like dishes or gifts, package. All those things I just bring to the recycle shop and get money also. So, and more or less that's what I do. And so far, we could give them $6,000 this time and $350 for the uniforms. So hopefully we can continue. And then my most concern is for children, it's not numbers of the money, and hope that children will go to school and do good, and I hope them have hope for their future, and the most important thing is to be saved, and they hope that people let encourage them to go to church and learn about Jesus, and hope that they continue the circle, then they would want to give our gospel to the others. That's my hope that I have doing this. But I want them to be really independent on what they do, like fishing, to raise fishes, or raise chickens, and water is a new thing. They haven't really been doing well on that, so I hope they concentrate and do the better than other people that do business, and so continue. They raise their money themselves. They don't have to be really independent of other people's donation. So donation is good, but if donation is just free money for me, so they can just, somebody else's money, they don't really worry, just spending. And instead, they make money and they help their own and continue and do better. And they show the children that if they work hard and, they can make their own money, and in the future they learn how the adults work and work hard and be honest. And so, but it's need the adult attitude to show the children, that's how it was. Kind of me was disappointment that I found that they were not doing those things to join the children. So, but this time Fernando went and told them, I really want them to be honest and work hard and do the ministry for the children. And yeah, so I hope they will change their mind of the doing the business, not just depending on the others' money, and hope that they continue the good work and for the children. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for having me back again to Mission Sunday. For those of you who haven't met me, my name is Emma, and I'm working with Japan International Food for the Hungry. We have an office here in Hiroshima. It's above CLC Christian Bookstore, and I'm working from that office and involved with a lot of our projects, both locally and also around the world. And to start with, I just really want to say thank you so much for your generosity last Mission Sunday. I'm sorry, I don't have specific photos or anything to show this time, but I'm hoping to have a more specific report next time I come along. Last time I was able to share about some of the work that we're supporting in Rwanda and what I was able to see of that work when I visited Rwanda in August. Since then, and since the last Mission Sunday, the work in Rwanda is continuing. We've actually sent a full-time staff member over to work with our partner organisation in Rwanda. We partner with an organisation there called Reach Rwanda, which stands for Reconciliation, Evangelism and Christian Healing, and they're working to reconcile the people groups in Rwanda after the genocide 20 years ago. One of the major ministries that the money you guys donated will go towards is their Unity Groups ministry, where they have these mixed unity groups, mixed ethnicities, mixed backgrounds coming together to work together on development projects. And through these development projects, they're both generating an income and helping get out of poverty, but also at the same time building unity between the people groups and spreading the message of the gospel and of unity in Rwanda. So our full-time staff member who is over there as of the end of September, she's worked previously in Bolivia, and she's also studied, I think she has a doctorate in organic agriculture from a university in the Netherlands, and so she'll be working mostly with these small unity groups and training them in higher skilled agriculture and helping supervise their projects. For example, some of the projects that they have for income generation at the moment is there's a craft group. I think last time I came along, I shared about the soap making group, where a lot of the women are coming together and making soap and selling the soap to hotels and individuals and overseas, also through us here in Japan, to make an income to pay for not only their own living costs, but also the living costs of people who are more impoverished than them in their community, and things like health expenses. And so our staff member, her name is Asako. I'd really appreciate if you could be praying for her as she's working over there full time, basically just giving any expertise she can and any guidance to these groups to help them to be more productive and to continue a more sustainable ministry. So with Japan International Food for the Hungry, our major project at the moment is called Hunger Zero Africa, which I think I talked about last time. And basically, we really want to see the end of hunger in Africa, and we're working through leadership training, through seminars, through education, through agricultural training in many areas of Africa, Rwanda being one of them, to really end the issue of extreme poverty over there. But another aspect of Japan International's Food for the Hungry's ministry and work is also emergency relief. And so I wanted to share just really briefly today about two projects that we've been involved in, and then also about something we're doing locally. Many of you may be aware that at the end of September, there was a suicide bombing terrorist attack on a church in Pakistan. In Peshawar, I think it was. I actually know the katakana better than the English for the place names. But there was a church in Peshawar that was attacked by two suicide bombers. And JFH actually has a very close working relationship with that church that was targeted. We work with the pastor of the church that was targeted, he's still alive. And he heads up a ministry over there called Hands of Love Peshawar, which is a ministry JFH actually helped plant in Pakistan. And so we have been providing some financial and food aid to the members of the families of the deceased from those suicide bombing incidents. And of course, soon after that, obviously the Philippines typhoon hit. And JFH is also very involved in the Philippines and has been for many years. We have a local organization in Mindao in the Philippines called Hands of Love Philippines. They also have an office in Manila. And we have been working since the typhoon struck through Hands of Love Philippines and also through Food for the Hungry Philippines and partnering with their work mostly in Cebu and Leyte Islands. And so we have had, we've sent several staff over full time. We currently have a staff member in the Manila office of Food for the Hungry Philippines, and she's actually an American lady, and she's communicating through to us how we can keep being involved and how we can best plan to send volunteers at a later stage. And we also have staff on the ground in Cebu who have been handing out relief supplies. These staff members were also involved in the Tohoku disaster, and so they're very experienced and know how to respond in these emergency situations. And one of our staff members, actually something we're so grateful for, is that he actually speaks Tagalog. So he's been a real blessing, and he's been on the ground handing out water filters, handing out canned bread, all that kind of thing. And so I know you guys are supporting the Philippines, and I think that's amazing. So we really just want to keep praying for the Philippines and praying for the many NGOs and charities over there providing aid at the moment, that they can just really come together alongside the local church and provide what the people need. And so lastly, I just really wanted to share today, and I'm sorry I don't have any photos. I would have loved to have a slideshow prepared. I just wanted to share a little bit more specifically about what we're actually doing in Hiroshima. And many of you have already been involved and are continuing to be involved. But what we're doing is we've opened up the back room of the JFH office above CLC. We're trying to turn it into a community space. We really, our vision for this space is that it will be a cafe-style, relaxed community space where people can come along through events or just to come and hang out. And it will be a place where people can really connect and engage with issues of hunger and poverty and injustice around the world. And through having that place there, that people can start to engage with these issues through movie nights, discussion groups, Bible studies, and start talking about what we can do as a community in Hiroshima about this. And we also really, really pray, and we know that you guys have the same vision as us, that more and more people come to know Christ here in Hiroshima. And what I'm finding, I've only been working with Food for the Hungry for a year or so, but it is amazing what a bridge it is to the non-Christian community. There are so many non-Christians out there who are interested in these issues of poverty and injustice, and they want to be involved. And when they see the work that Food for the Hungry is doing around the world, they're really quite surprised, because it's so different to them from what they know. And it's been an amazing opportunity to connect non-Christians to the church, to share with them from the Bible, and to talk about the gospel and the hope that is in Jesus, and that's why we do what we do. And so I really just want to take this opportunity to ask for your continued input into this community space ministry. We currently, the biggest need we have is for furniture. We've managed to set it up so that we can be preparing fair trade coffee and tea there and talking about how we can be involved in development work through buying fair trade products. We're hoping that next year we can actually have a regular event schedule, and that we can actually have one day every week where it's cafe day at the office, and anyone can just come in anytime during the day, have a cup of coffee and talk about how they can be involved or what we're doing, or just sit there and chill out or read some books. And there's four main ways you can be involved in what we're doing locally in Hiroshima. The first one is, as you are doing, is to continue to support us financially, and we're so grateful for that. One thing with JFH, any financial support we're given, 80% at least goes to the impoverished communities that we work with. So they go to local projects and the actual organisation is operating on less than 20% of our funding. And so when it comes to local projects, we don't actually have the money to do things like buy furniture and develop big projects here. But we just really pray that through your support and through donations and through volunteers that we can continue to get this message out here in Hiroshima. So financially, the other way is through making donations of furniture, cups, plates, kitchen items, decorations for the cafe, also things like pot plants or just things that will make it a really nice welcoming space for people to come into, and that it will be a place that will really bridge the church to the community. And people will be able to start coming in and hanging out and feeling at home. And the other way is volunteering. We're particularly looking for volunteers who are available during weekdays. I know that's difficult for a lot of you working full-time, but if there's anyone out there who is interested in these issues and being involved in Hiroshima, please let me know, and we would love to schedule you in as a cafe de helper. Also, there's always translation work, translating letters to sponsored children, translating educational materials, that kind of thing. And then the other way is to use the space. We want to make this a space that will be used by the church as a bridge into the community. And we're so excited that Mitaki is already holding an English Bible study on Thursday nights in our office. And we can't wait to make the office a nicer space for that Bible study. And we really hope that the church can continue to use it in that way and in new ways in the future as well. So thank you so much for your commitment to us. And we hope that we can continue to serve the world alongside you, and also to serve you guys as the local church. And I look forward to actually having some photos of the cafe ministry, and also more of what's happening in Rwanda next time I see you. So thank you guys so much. Bless you.
We don't need pictures of the cafe because, to be honest, about 10 years ago, we were doing the mountain worship ministry, and the son of the manager of CLC, we were praying, and we were praying in that upper room, and a bunch of us thought, yeah, we want to open a cafe here in this room. And we even had a name for it. We would call it the Juji Cafe. It would be a play on words, Jujika, the cross. But also we thought, we want to open it from 10 p.m. at Juji. So the Juji Cafe. But the Lord had better plans. They I think it's called Kokusai Cafe. So that's a better name. It's a better name. We'll give it to you. So so praise the Lord. Thank you very much for that. We've had Cambodia. We've had, bless the Lord. We've added Rwanda to our prayer list the last time Emma came, and now we can add Peshawar, Pakistan to our list. So the house of the Lord is the house of prayer for the nations. Amen. And now, briefly, Cambodia. We support a missionary family, Daryl, Kyle, and their son, Benjamin, in Cambodia. They are ministering in the capital of, I think it's Phnom Penh. Thank you. Phnom Penh. And there's nothing to report immediately because right now they are on home assignment since November. The end of November, they went to America, California, Pittsburgh, other places. They're visiting their support churches, and they're hoping to return to Cambodia on January 6th. If you would like more information, you can look them up on Facebook. You can ask me for the link. Also, there is their homepage with, does anybody remember the SGW? Saving Grace World Missions. But anyway, For more information, absolutely contact me and we'll connect you to the Record family. And you can get their email updates. But they're well, I'm sure they're well fed in America right now and getting some rest, but doing the work of gathering more support. So continue to lift them up in your prayers. Well, I think we have a video of the Philippines coming up, and we're going to move into a time for the Philippines as well. And then after that, we'll pray, and then we'll take the offering. So get it ready. But praise God, we have been collecting for the last 3 weeks since the typhoon tragedy happened. Over the last year, I said that we've collected over $4,000. That's 400,000 yen. That took us an entire year to collect. But over the course of 3 weeks here at Mitaki, the English service has collected 235,997 yen. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Yeah. That's just the English service. And then our Japanese brothers and sisters at this church said, no, you cannot give without us giving too. So they jumped on. They donated the last three Sundays 73,300 yen. And then just before the service, I was coming up to our service, and one of our deacons, at our church here, he collected some money from his care group. We have lunch here. We serve lunch, and we sell it, this lunch for 200 yen a plate, not for profit, but just to supply the lunches. But they decided to donate all of that money for the Philippines, so even a fourth week, and that's 7,866 yen today. Collected just for the Philippines. So total, let me get my notes. Total for the last 4 weeks for the Philippines, Mitaki has collected and is sending 317,463 yen in 3 weeks. Praise God, He is a good and awesome God. And that's... I can't. Praise the Lord! Like that is a salary right there. That's 1 month of salary for lots of people. And praise God! I praise Him and I thank You. And so, basically, on the cover of your bulletin is the scripture that Paul wrote to the Corinthians, and he wrote it. He was saying, "Look, I don't have much to brag about. I have no boast except one thing, and that is." The people of Macedonia, they are givers. That's it. Number two, verse two, for I know your eagerness to help, and I have been boasting about it to the Macedonians. Excuse me. So the church in Corinth, as crazy as that church was, they had issues of sexual immorality, idolatry, division, rumors, lies. They had a lot of problems. But still, Paul says, you are generous. You are givers. I know our church is far from perfect. Like I've said before, if you got one bad thing to say, I've got two bad things to say. If you've got two complaints about Mitaki, I've got four. If you've got five complaints, find another church. You will not be happy here. But our church is not perfect. But I'm telling you, we give, just like this Corinthian church. And I praise God. I give Him the praise. So, with the Philippines, we have an amazing blessing. We have someone whom we've sent the money to. Half of the money we sent to my cousin. The other half to Hannah's brother, who went with a team for 2 weeks to the Philippines. He went to prisons and neighborhoods around Tacloban. He went to churches with his team members. We have a video of that first week. And then also, we have her brother here to give us an eyewitness report of what they've done there. So I praise God for that. Is the video ready to go? Okay, so first we'll watch the video, and then I'll introduce to you David here from the Philippines. So the images will be a little bit graphic, just to be warned.
Church. It's a New Harvest Church up in the Alta Vista. Church up in the Alta Vista barangay, and this church has been devastated by the crisis of the typhoon. All
to where?
Just really listening, like the guys here with Pat there yesterday. Super excited to get over to Hong Kong, one of the heavily hit areas, to be able to distribute. New Harvest Church up in the Alta Vista barangay, and this church has been devastated by the winds and the typhoon. All the walls have been completely knocked down into the back over here where the pastor and his wife and kids live.
Our church building was destroyed. We feel so helpless. I wanted to help my family, but I can't. I just gave them the instruction we need to lie down and pray to God. We are all hungry, we are injured, and we don't know where to start. We just stared our devastated place until the team from Hawaii, YWAM.
It's been such a blessing for this family and this church, and we still have a little bit of rubble to clear out, but this looks so much better than it was.
We can start now anew and a beginning, and tomorrow we'll have our Sunday service. Although thousands of people died here in Leyte, but we thank God for sparing our lives and protecting us.
So we're here with Pastor Ratcliffe, and we're going through a neighborhood here in Ormoc, and we're giving away sacks of rice and sardines to church members from Pastor Ratcliffe's church. And these are all the kids that have gathered around in the excitement of watching people in their neighborhood receive rice, and the need for it is so great. It's just incredible to see that through such hardship and destruction, these people just have such amazing spirits. And they're so joyful, and there's hope here. So
It's been a blessing to be able to bless these people with food, but at the same time, it's been such a blessing to be blessed by these people.
One Bukidnon Health Movement arrived at 12:30 midnight the other day. And when we arrived here, it's so dark, there was no electricity, everything is in rubble. I thought I was in the war zone.
Seeing these kids dance, sing, and play games, and have basically a time of forgetting about what happened and being a kid. They're all smiling, they're all having an awesome time. We're behind a truck that's carrying bodies. You can't see how many from here, but there's a lot.
This man's daughter. The other lady that was taken for this one is his wife. These bodies were found after 16 days.
The relatives is there witnessing the corpse that is put into the body bag, and then before we put in the corpse into the body bag, we offer a little prayer for God and for the whole family and for the whole nation that we can be able to stand up with this vast devastation in our country.
So right now, there's been tremendous effort to get our assessments done, to get people on the ground, to meet some really urgent needs. But now we have a long-term process ahead of us as we take it from a response phase, as we continue to meet some of the urgent needs with food, water, medical, but now we're looking to bring in the long-term recovery rebuilding phase. We need to get building supplies on the ground, roofing, tools, generators, so we can work with the local church, get the local church inspired, and get them equipped so they can rebuild their own community and really take this long-term. We need teams. We need people there that can get there. We need trained responders there. We need church teams to come and come invest their time, get their feet on the ground. Just because this isn't in the news doesn't mean that this has gone away. The long-term need in the Philippines is great, and we need you to respond.
Thank you for helping us. Thank you. To God be the glory.
Okay, I want to call up David right now. This is David, and he's the brother of Hannah, and he was there with that team that we just saw on the video. That video was just the first week of the work, and he's going to share with us the remainder of it. After that, we'll pray, and then we'll collect our money. So please, go ahead, David.
Yeah, I just want to, first off, just thank you guys so much for praying. Oh my goodness, like, what happened this past 2 weeks was just so ridiculously amazing, what the Lord did. And from the utmost sincerity of my heart, I really want to say that it was not possible without you guys praying. And our team literally felt like the whole world was praying for us, because our team was very international, and Japan, Korea, Denmark, New Zealand, everywhere, people just backing us in prayer, and things only happened because you guys prayed. Just to really encourage you guys, I'm just going to read two verses. First one is from Ephesians 6:12. For we did not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. And one more from 2 Corinthians 10. For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ, being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete. Yeah, just, you guys did something. You guys, I like to say, the way we say it in YWAM is like, you guys were our air support. We were the troops on the ground, and without your aerial support through prayer, things would not have happened. we're only human. Our team is only human. But through your prayers, God did such a mighty work because it's on God's heart to revive the Philippines, right? And what I'm really here to share to you with you about is that God is faithful to complete what he already finished, right? And the situation in the Philippines, it seems disheartening and hopeless through the news and the media. You see Tacloban, they're still pulling out dead bodies after 3 weeks, almost a month. You know, the situation from the human perspective does not look pleasant, right? Even in Ormoc, it wasn't as heavily devastated as compared to Tacloban, which is on the other side of the island facing the Pacific Ocean. That's where you see the news, the tidal wave just wiping whole villages out and taking buildings into the ocean, and people are just not even found yet, almost a month later, you know. But I'm really here to say to you, at the Philippines, there's so much hope and joy in the Philippines. And it's totally on God's heart. We all have the privilege of just partnering with his heart, because his heart is for the broken and the contrite in spirit, right? That's what the word says. And that's a promise from Jesus, that it is already finished. It's already done. You know, Jesus died on the cross, and there is already hope for those who believe in him, right? And what really broke my heart in the Philippines and the believers there was like, if you heard that the person that spoke in the beginning with the broken church, he's a pastor. His name is Pastor Early. But they all had hope, right? They clung to Jesus in the midst of their adversity. When the 200 mile per hour winds was wiping out their roof, destroying their walls, you know, churches getting wiped out left and right. The situation was not good, but they had a thankful heart. After it was over, they clung to Jesus, saying, "Jesus is enough for me. Like he said, I'm hungry. I don't know how to feed my children. I don't have a place to live. You know, I'm cold, but God is good. He spared our lives." And that was literally every person I encountered on the streets of the Philippines, every barangay, which is a neighborhood, every barangay we went to, they were so thankful that we were there. You know, just the fact that they were praying, "Jesus, send someone to us, send food, send do anything," you know. And the fact that 2 weeks later we show up, they're so blessed to know that God answered their prayers, that God is faithful to them, right? And it was such an honor to be the hands and feet of Jesus, right? Being commissioned by you guys through prayer, it's such an honor to be here in front of you guys. Even me being here is the plan of the Lord, just to encourage you guys, because you guys had an active part in what we did in the Philippines, what our team did through the finances, and especially through prayer. Because like I read, you guys broke down strongholds for us, right? There's walls that the enemy has placed that we can't go through. But through your prayers, you're literally just cracking the wall with every prayer you're throwing up to Jesus. And he's hearing them, right? And we just crack. And at some point, it's going to crack. But I'm really here to tell you that God did not delay in answering his prayers for the Philippines, because we saw so much breakthrough in the miracles happening, people getting healed from deafness, from being mute, so things like that. You know, people getting saved in prisons, you know. People, you know, the way we like to say it is, you know, see the need and meet it, right? When we got this simple two-hour training from Crisis Response, they were saying, like, preaching the gospel to people that are hungry and in need of essentials is pretty much useless, because they have, in the current situation, they have bigger needs, right? There are other things to be, how do I say this? Yeah, other needs to be met first, right? So the privilege we had to pass out relief goods, and the relief goods that we passed out wasn't even that much, but they were for whole families. It was like 2 cups of rice, 2 cans of sardines, 2 packs of ramen noodles, and a bar of soap. Bags like this big, you know. And whenever we passed them out, the families were saying, "Oh my goodness, thank you so much. We could feed our kids for the next 3 days now," you know. But in the midst of that, then all of them saying, "Thank you so much. Your answer to our prayers. God is faithful in the midst of adversity, and for me personally, I think it would be really hard for me to be able to say that, say thank you, Jesus, for, thank you, Jesus, just simply, you know, thank you for letting me live. Thank you that I have hope in you, you know, and we had the privilege of partnering with pastors. There was upwards of 20 of them, but there was such unity in the body of Christ in the Philippines. A lot of the people in the Philippines, they acknowledge Jesus, they acknowledge God, but it's not up to us to say if they're really saved. Anyways, point being is they all acknowledge the existence of God and that God saved them. You know, the level of thanks was just out of the roof, and the joy that they had and the peace that they had in the midst of devastation was just such a blessing to our team. You know, they were giving us hope. They gave me hope about life in general, you know, that, like that last picture you guys saw, it said, roofless, homeless, but not hopeless. You know, that is one line I would say is over the Philippines right now. That's the spirit of the Philippines, not despair, not destruction, not anything else, nothing negative, but there is really hope and peace and joy and gratitude, a spirit of gratitude over the Philippines right now, especially in Ormoc City, where we spent the majority of our time. And we partnered with churches, and we were there for 2 Sundays, and we got to encourage the church body, and they had a time of sharing testimonies like you guys did today. They sang worship songs with tears in their eyes, saying, Jesus, thank you so much for what you're doing in the Philippines right now, right this moment. You know, thank you that the winds could have easily took me away, but they didn't, you know. Thank you that my house, I'm alive, and my house is destroyed, you know. And we really encourage them to be the light of the world, like Jesus says that we are in Matthew 5, right? And just that question of, what do you think your non-believing neighbors were experiencing during the typhoon? They had no hope to cling on to. They could hang on to their walls, but what else is there, you know? So really challenging the body of Christ in the Philippines to be the light of the world in the midst of adversity, because this is when the gospel explodes, when people are so vulnerable because everything that they know and have is gone, literally. And the neighborhood that we were in, Ormoc City, it's not even very well established, but the other neighborhoods, they're living in huts and little shacks, you know. And prior to the typhoon, it's really obvious to see that they did not have much already. But seeing that everything they had is gone, but them trying to rebuild again, like the pastor said, there's hope. There's so much hope. And one more testimony of answered prayer. That pastor, Pastor Early, that day, he was just praying, like, Lord, send someone, or my church is destroyed. Like, what am I going to do? And that day, we were walking up to his neighborhood. Amen. And the Lord told him, he was riding his motorcycle, right? And the Lord told him, wave your hands in the air, like a wild man, right? To say, like to give to rejoice that God answered his prayers, right? So I wasn't personally there, but our teammates were saying, like, this guy is just kind of super excited to see white men, you know? Yeah, but we basically found out that he came to our church that we're staying at and said, like, you are answered a prayer, giving testimony that God answered his prayer that day by seeing us walk the streets of the Philippines, you know? And just, if you remember that last worker there that said, thank you for coming, you know, that was the heart of everyone. When we were just walking the streets, not even just walking the streets, people are saying hi to us left and right, like, hello, Americans, thank you for coming, you know, just like, and then just, it's just so funny, their heart, Filipinos are really funny, just because some people from the street walked into the church and said, where did you guys find big white men to do labor for you? You know, things like that, you know, and, you know, I think that's hilarious, because all my teammates are like 6 foot plus, and they're humongous, and anyways, but even us going to the church that we stayed at, that we did a lot of our ministry in, they didn't even know we were coming, right? It's answered their prayer too. They have a really big yard that just got trashed by the wind. There's trees everywhere. And they were thinking, okay, we'll probably clean this up in about 3 to 4 months, you know. But we came and cleaned it out in about a span of 3 days, you know, being such a blessing to them. And that space is actually going to be used for organizations to set up camp, to bring in relief goods, and filter, kind of be a hub for distributing relief goods from that church, the Ormoc Baptist Church. Yeah. So crisis response is there, an organization called Operation Blessing, along with medical teams and along with other relief teams that are coming in. They're slowly all coming and working out amazingly, you know. And just, they were so hospitable, understanding that we were here to bless them, you know. But in return, they blessed us so much. They gave us little cards and little hats with their email addresses, and just the heart behind the community in Ormoc and just the Philippines in general is one of unity. And they're all partnering with one another in the midst of this hardship and saying, like, coming back to that place of hope in Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It always will be about Jesus. And it's about his kingdom being expanded, not on organizations, you know, and them really understanding that, like, God has a sovereign plan in the midst of this hardship, you know, and it's slowly coming into place through relief goods and relief workers and just the sharing of the gospel, that there is tangible hope in Jesus, even though it doesn't look like it in the surrounding areas, but all of them have so much hope. And people are getting saved, people are getting healed, and your prayers are being answered. They've been answered. Another testimony of prayer. My team, I'm kind of stuck here in Asia, but my team flew back to our base. And on the way there, one of our teammates led two Buddhist people to the Lord, two Buddhist monks. I don't know if they're monks, but they're Buddhists, two Buddhists to the Lord on the plane ride. And they got back to the base, and then that particular friend found out that two other friends from our base were praying for salvations to continue happening on the plane ride over. And I think with those two salvations, I think our team saw around 100 salvations in the 2 weeks. And it's such a living testimony of what God does through prayer. Not what he can do, but what he does, you know. And just like Sean Malone said in the video, just continue to pray. The need is still so great, but Jesus does not see the situation as hopeless. Yeah. That we all have the privilege of partnering with Jesus in finishing what he started, finishing what he already finished. Does that make sense? Yeah, you know. And one more quick verse for you guys before I'm done. And just, I think what I learned the most was, like, Jesus does what he said he will do. He does it. He's faithful, and he's going to do everything he says in the Bible. You know, and it's, I think what faith really is believing everything that came out of Jesus' mouth, and believing everything that God said that he will do, and what he already did, you know. And this is from Isaiah 9. Of the increase of his government and the peace, there will be no end on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. The increase, I'm going to believe that the increase of his government will never end, meaning the increase of his government in the Philippines will never end. It will never decrease from what it is right now, meaning there is always going to be hope in the Philippines, because that God says the increase of his government will never, ever end from here, from this time forth, and forevermore, you know. And he says, as Isaiah says right here, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. God is passionately zealous for salvation and healing and restoration of the Philippines. That is the Lord's heart. And we all, I'm going to say this again, we all have the privilege and the honor of partnering with God's heart and pray for them. Send more money, whatever. Send teams, whatever it looks like. We all have the privilege of partnering with God's heart, because his government will never cease to increase. and never will. It will only increase. More people will get saved. More hope and more peace and more joy will fill the Philippines. So I'm here just to say that God did something, God is still doing something, and He will do something forever in the Philippines in the midst of this tragedy. Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Well, thank you for sitting patiently and listening for the past hour. Now let's put our faith to work. Let's pray. And instead of me leading, as I often do, I would like you to break into groups of three or four. And I would like you to spend the next 5 minutes praying. Remember Guatemala. Please remember Pastor Edgar, who is the pastor of the church there near the orphanage. Also, Edgar, the other missionary, looking for orphans to save. Pray for President Ebert. Pray for the Casa del Niño. Also, please pray. Continue to pray for Japan International Food for the Hungry. Pray for Emma's ministry. Remember Asako-san in Rwanda, who is leading the unity groups. Please remember Peshawar and the one who's the staff member in Peshawar. The pastor.
Yeah.
Pray for the pastor there in the church that was attacked by the suicide bomber. Please remember them in prayer. Also, please pray for the Kokusai Cafe here in Hiroshima, downtown. Also, please remember to pray for the records, Daryl, Kayo, and Benjamin, and their stay in America. Also, please remember the Philippines. And what David did not mention was that there is another team that came in after his team. And then there will be another team after that team that will come in. So every 2 weeks, also every for the next every couple of months that will stay. So continue to pray. Let's lift up the nations before our God, and I'll close this in prayer, and then we'll pray for the offering. So please go ahead and break up into three or four, and let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let's allot 5 minutes, and then from 5 minutes, we'll close it. Let's pray. It's good? Yeah, it's good.
Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. You are holy. Holy are you, Lord God Almighty. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. You are holy. Holy are you, Lord God Almighty. Worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb, you are holy, holy are you, Lord God Almighty. Worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb, you are holy.
God, we pray to you. We have lifted up our prayers, Lord, that it rise as incense before you, Lord, that you would hear them, that you would that they would fill your presence, Lord God, and that you would love to answer them, Lord God. We love you and we thank you for your love so much, and we are about to give this offering to you, that you would use it to bless these countries. We thank you that our lives have been blessed so much. We have been provided for. We are not hungry. We are not cold. We are not thirsty. We are well fed. But Lord, all the more for those who are hungry, for those who are thirsty, for those who are living in darkness, for those who are alone, for those who are looking for something to grab onto, we ask that you would have mercy on them as you have had mercy on us, that Lord, your arm is mighty to save, that Lord, you are God who loves and loves and loves and gives all
for your children, and we pray that, Father, for those who are have homes that have been destroyed. Lord, it's just a home on this earth, but Lord, we pray that you would give them an eternal home, that you would call them home, home to their Father who loves them, who would save them, Lord God. Father, for those who have lost family members, who have been left orphans, who have been left widows or widowers, that, Lord, you would call them into your family, that they would have even a greater family, an eternal family that they can call their own, Lord God. For those who have lost jobs or livestock or livelihoods, that you are enough. Christ is enough, that in you they would find all that they need, but all the more, for those of us, Lord, whom you are sending, whether it's from the States or whether from Japan or whether whatever country, that, Lord, our hands would be strong to work and to serve, that we would not just love with words, but, Lord, that we would love with action, with deed, and with the strength that God provides in us, Lord God. Oh, God, work in us, Lord God. I pray now, Lord, as we prepare to give, that we would give out of gratitude, that we would give out of thanksgiving for all that you've blessed us with, for saving us, for redeeming us, for changing us, for pointing us in the right direction. For all of that, we just give something, Lord God. I know it's a hard season. We've given for the last 3 weeks. Also, we're trying to save up for presents for people. We got holiday things to do. But, Lord, we cry out. I cry out to you, Lord, on behalf of the orphans, on behalf of the homeless, on behalf, Lord God, of those who have been left out in the dark. We lift them up to you, Lord God, and I ask you, Lord God, to draw out of us, Lord, like a well, Lord, from the riches of your glory. We appeal to your riches, Lord God, to your love, to your strength, your power. We appeal to you, O God, that you would do this for your greater glory. Lord, that as we sing, holy, 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 worthy is the Lamb, that all the more, Lord God, more people would join us, more people would join in the singing because of your saving good, power, Lord God. So, Lord, we lift this up to you in Jesus' name. Amen.